John's Gospel, chapter number 20. John's Gospel, chapter number 20. I'd like to share a few thoughts with you today out of this Gospel. While you're turning there, all the parents have teens that signed up for a youth camp. Please meet in the men's prayer room for Brother Adam to go over the trip details for just a few moments after the service. Amen. All right. John chapter number 20. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Your heart satisfied? God been good to you?
Amen.
Great to hear the pages turning in your Bible today. John 20, very familiar text. We know that the disciples had went and they found an empty tomb. Aren't you glad that the tomb is empty this morning? If the tomb was not empty, we would have no hope. We would be of all men most miserable. But I sure am glad that Jesus went on the cross and the third day He got out of the tomb. He's on the right-hand side of the Father. Now we're fixing to look at a group of disciples who was, their life had been rearranged. I want to ask you, has you ever found out in your life that things didn't go as it had planned for you for it to go? Have you ever found yourself in the pathway of life when things become so disturbed and out of order? Things that happen that you never thought yet was possible to happen? Well, these disciples found themselves in this way, as we know in this passage in the upper room. Let's see what the Lord does today. The Bible said, then the same day at evening, the same day they went to the tomb, found it empty. Some had come back and told the disciples that the Lord was not there. They become frightened. They've gathered together now on the Lord's day, the same day at evening being the first day of the week. Watch this. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in the midst and said unto them the most wonderful words He could ever say to anybody. Peace be unto you. When He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As My Father hath sent Me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. I want to say something right here. God did not give them the apostolic power to forgive anybody. But only God can forgive. Do you hear me this morning? No pope, no priest, no Baptist preacher can forgive anybody of sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive us of our sins. What He meant in verse 23, this was given to them to establish the terms and conditions by which men may be saved or pardoned. In other words, He says, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you out with a message to let people know how to be saved. Then, in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto Him, we've seen the Lord. But He said unto them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, put My finger in the print of the nails, and thrust My hand into His side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, His disciples were within, Thomas with them. I like this phrase, then came Jesus. Let's say that again. Then came Jesus. Aren't you glad He comes by? The doors being shut. Notice, they're shut again. Stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith He to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold My hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into My side. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You may be seated today. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together today. Thank you, God, that you saved Morgan this week. Thank you that you saved Bella and Sophie. Thank you for all of these, God, that you have brought under conviction and they've responded to you by faith. Thank you we have a God that we can call on this morning. Now, God, within this text, I don't know why. I don't have to understand why. I just know I'm supposed to be here this morning. So would you do that only which the good Holy Ghost can do today? Touch our brother Gerald on the bed of affliction. Help Miss Peggy today. God, the family that we prayed for this week that's lost their child tragically. I pray for that family today. On this Lord's Day, would you help them this morning? In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. I want to remind people that I think it was Wednesday I got a call. Young man riding a motorcycle, he hit a parked tractor trailer, killed him instantly. This family's attached to one of the families in our church. What tragedy. Young people, you may think you have a whole life to live. We're not guaranteed but one thing, we're all going to meet God. That's what we're guaranteed. Don't play with your eternity. Don't roll dice at the cross, you'll lose. Trust Jesus and be saved today. For today is the day of salvation. Now I want you to notice, first of all, we have an assembly this morning. Within this text, you'll notice there is a fearful assembly. In verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, where the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now, there was a fearful assembly. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, those things don't scare me. There are some things that we should be feared of today. We should be feared of many things. We should have fear about meeting God in a lost condition. We should be fearful and reverence God, that He is God. But the Lord does not want us walking around frightened. You know, perfect love casts out fear this morning. But here I noticed that there was a fearful assembly. They gathered together. Things were going on in their day and hour that they had never experienced or had ever seen. What had happened? Well, they were outcast in the community. Many times they had to hide from a public venue. They had to go underground in dark places just to meet and declare that they believed in the Lord Jesus. And Jesus has died. On the third day, He's rose. They've gone to this tomb. They found it empty. They're coming back wondering a lot, and so they lock their doors. And the Bible says, because of the fear of the Jews, there's a fearful assembly. You know, I want to say something real quickly about these doors. Now, they watch their doors. Every church ought to watch their doors. People that belong to the church, they ought to come to church. They ought to be church folk. And the doors of the church is not opened up to the world. It's opened up to saved people. And we that are born again by the grace of God, we have a testimony to keep. People are watching us in our community. And I realize that they paid attention to the doors. You know something? If you just fling the doors open wide, you've got to be careful. The world is to never take the church. Do you hear me this morning? Their liberal policies and their liberal views, this woke culture that's so cray-cray in this day and this hour, is to never infiltrate the church, the family of God. We stand on the morals and the views and the scriptures of the Word of God. We draw a line in the sand. May I say, there's never going to be a church do anything for the honor and the glory of God unless they keep the doors here. You'll notice it was a fearful assembly. But then I like this. And I can't get this out of my heart. I've never had this thought about this passage. I don't really know how to underline it, so it don't matter. So I'm just going to share my heart with you. There may be some of you here this morning, you got the door closed and you don't even know why. You got the door closed to your heart. You've got your door closed to your family. You got the door closed to your friend. You've even got the door closed to God. It'd be a good morning today for you to open up the door of life. Let the Lord of glory walk in your world and do something for you that nobody else could ever do. So here I am reminded, even in my life, many times I've had the door shut. God wanted to do something with me in my life. You'll notice here there's a fearful assembly, but secondly, there's a featured appearance. Jesus does something. In verse 19, the Bible said, and came Jesus and stood in the midst. Aren't you glad that Jesus is interested in our fearful moments? Aren't you glad that Jesus is interested in a group of His people that are gathered together? Even though they may have many doors bolted and locked, can I tell you, Jesus is interested in our lives this morning. So here, there's a fearful assembly. Then secondly, there's a featured appearance. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. Now He's got the glorified body. I don't know if He opened the door, He walked through the door, round the door, but I know this, Jesus come inside. Can I tell you, you may think that you can keep Jesus out, honey, but if Jesus wants on the inside, Jesus can come on the inside. I'm glad in my life when all the doors were shut that Jesus took it upon Himself to come and introduce Himself to my life in a closed off place. I had everything closed off, but Jesus was interested in my door closed. A lot of us, we close the door to our families, our friends, to our faith. But Jesus don't want us to go through life with our door closed. He wants to help us in this day and this hour. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to shut you out. You may shut me out, but honey, you can't keep Jesus out. He ain't come through the closed door this morning. I've heard a lot of families say, I want nothing to do with this Jesus. Let me tell you something. I sure am glad Jesus is interested in our closed up places this morning. I want to say that there was a fearful assembly. Then all of a sudden there is a featured appearance. But then in verse 19, something helped my heart. Here's a fearless address. He said this. First thing he said, in and of me, he could have said anything. Peace. It's capital in your King James Bible. Be unto you. Oh, aren't you glad he's the peace giver this morning? How many people that's closed the doors in life, closed the doors to other areas, family, people, faith? Oh, how Jesus would love to give you peace this morning. Passes all understanding. I'm glad He's the peace giver. You know, the older I get, the more peace I get. You know, even so, come Lord Jesus. Me and Brother Mike rode together Friday. We were talking about the Lord returning. Let me tell you, wouldn't it be a great day for the Lord to return this evening? I'm glad I got peace in my heart that only Jesus can give me. I look for peace in all the wrong places. I think there's a country song about that, isn't it? I was looking for peace in all the wrong places. Looking for it in a prescription. Looking for it in a bag of weed. Looking for it in toys. Looking for it in the things that I wanted to do. But I sure am glad one day when I had the door shut, Jesus come by. Said something to me in my life. Are you glad one day, even though when you had the door closed, Jesus come by? You'll notice there's a fearless address. He could have said anything to them first. He could have said, shame, shame. I told every one of you what was going to happen, but you're fearful. But he didn't say that. There's nobody like Jesus. You know, I've noticed serving Jesus. Jesus don't never chew me out. Jesus just always woos me back to Him. Jesus don't kick me when I get out of line. He deals with my heart and He woos me. Oh, I sure am glad that He is the peace giver this morning. How in the world, just as an older pastor, can I ask you something today? How in the world can families walk through this life without the peace giver? How do they walk into a funeral home without the peace giver? How do they go in a hospital ICU unit and stay there for weeks at times without the peace giver? How do you go on a job in this society that's so out of bounds without the peace giver? So Jesus comes. He could have said anything, but He said, peace be unto you. Have you got peace this morning? I'm talking about peace that runs through your soul and your heart that only Jesus can give. Glad He's the peace giver. Religion can't give it to you. I've tried religion 18 years. Well, I made up excuses to miss church. Mom and daddy was going to the little country church. I got my license and said, well, I'm going to go to town church. You know what I do? I drive and skip church. Come home and lie. I know some of y'all don't like that, but I'm just telling you where I lived. I was a lost man. Religion was boring to me, and it's still boring to me today. But honey, I love the good presence of the Holy Ghost when He comes by and deals with our heart and He says, peace be unto you. I'm glad He's a peace giver this morning. Today, this fearful assembly, this featured appearance, this fearless address, verse 20, look at this fascinating action. He does something to them. When He so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad they saw the Lord. They said, you know, that's Him. He showed unto them His hands and His side. It's going to be a first mention in a few verses below this, by the time I'm done preaching. The word is nails. First time it's ever mentioned in our Bible. Here the Lord appeared unto them and He showed unto them His hands. I'm glad there is proof. I'm glad there is a promise. He came and He showed them something. His hands and His side. A fascinating action. First we see Christ is walking. The grave didn't hold Him. Christ was walking and then He showed them His hands and His side. Calvary is walking. I'm glad that it's still a walking and a working today. Calvary is very much alive. He says, see these nail-scarred hands? I'm glad what He done it forever for you and I. You see here, we see Christ is walking and we see Calvary is working. It's fascinating action. Then look what He does, church, in verse 21. There's a fruitful arrangement. He tells them something. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. Has there ever been a time when you needed a little extra word from Him? Again, He said, peace be unto you. Peace is very important. Peace with the decisions that you have to make. Peace in where you live and how you live. Peace in your heart, what God is asking you to do. And Jesus again gives them this conversation. He says, peace be unto you. This fruitful arrangement. Now watch, church. As my Father has sent me, aren't you glad that God sent His Son? He didn't send out of what He had. He didn't send us one out of three. God sent us all that He had. That was His Son, the Lord Jesus. And He takes it very serious. You remember last Sunday I preached on He was very angry. This morning, God sent His Son for the sins of this world. He said, as My Father has sent Me, here's our text, even so send I you. And when He said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. A fruitful arrangement. Even so send I you. You may be surprised where God would send you. But can I tell you that that is the Great Commission today? God does not want us sitting around with the doors locked. God is wanting to send us out of those doors to a lost and a dying world. To tell them just as He told them, to be able to tell people how to be saved. You say, well, Brother Ken, I want to ask you something. How do I tell people to be saved? First of all, the Spirit of God must deal with them. That's Bible. Spirit of God must deal with our heart. You see, at that time, then that person must respond to God by faith. He said, all that would come unto Me, I would in no wise cast out. But you have to come. So when you're telling somebody how to get saved and they ask you, you say, the Lord Jesus died for your sins. God sent His Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His Son to die for you. Do you see yourself as a sinner? Do you realize you're a sinner and in the need of a Savior? The Spirit deals with your heart. Then the Bible says that we are to repent of our sins and trust Christ. You don't hear much about repentance anymore. But did you know what Jesus said? Unless you all likewise repent, you shall perish. You know what repentance means? It means simply turning from the way you was doing and walking. Having a new heart, a new desire, following Jesus. So, as God sends us out in this world and people ask us how to be saved, I ask you, how did you get saved? What's your experience with Christ? Has it ever been a time that you realized that you as a sinner, God dealt with your heart, and in your own way you responded to Him by faith out of your heart? Did your life change? Do you love the things of God? You love the Bible? You love the brethren? You love the things of the church? This morning, you'll notice it was a very fruitful arrangement. But then in verse 24, there's a faithless argument. I read last night through what some of the authors said. They had some great thoughts about this. And I want to close with the main thrust of my heart this morning. Verse 24. You'll notice a faithless argument. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Time out. Why wasn't he there? He was a disciple. The disciples had gathered together. Now y'all watch this. Look what he missed by not being there. Wonder what me and you will miss by not being in our place on the Lord's day. It's very important. I hear a lot of people saying, well, send me a tape, send me a CD of the message. It's not the same. There's nothing like assembling with our brother and sisters in Christ. There will never be anything that takes its place. Do you remember in the COVID days we was preaching on live stream only? Then you remember the first time we came into the parking lot together and I preached on that stairway out there to you in the parking lot. Do you remember just getting together, how much better that was than just online? Amen. Can I tell you, God knows what He said when He said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. It encourages us and it helps us. And look what Thomas missed out. You say, well, Brother Ken, there's not a lot going on here this morning. Oh, there's a whole lot going on more than what me and you can see. The other Wednesday night, I doubt if Miss Amy thought much was going on in her class, but little did she know that little child would come out of her class and ask her mother about being saved, and God deal with her mother. I remember one night at Hartsville, Alabama, Sunrise Baptist Church, I was preaching, and the Lord let me see this young lady. She had one of those Raggedy Anns. She sat where Brother Adam and Miss Gayla sat with her parents. She was about probably 8 years old. She sat there, and I noticed she played with that baby the whole time I was preaching. I could see her. And I went home that night, laid down at the motel. Got up that morning, and the pastor texted me. And he said, "You know the little girl that was on the second pew last night? At midnight, she came in her mom and daddy's room, and she said, 'That preacher said something tonight about Jesus wanting to save me, and I'm troubled, and I want to be saved.'" Can I tell you, Mom and Daddy, your babies, God is doing more around the worship of God, around the text of the Scriptures, than you and I will ever find out about till we get to heaven. So I just want to be faithful. I just want to stand up and preach out of the right kind of Bible, what God puts in my heart. Give an invitation. It's God's. He owns it all. And it's up to you whether you're going to be saved or not. So we see in this text, there was a faithless argument. Look what he says. Didymus was not with him when Jesus came, and the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, look, I will not believe." I will not believe. He said, I've heard the story, but I need to see the proof. Jesus says something about that. Let's close this and watch this faithless argument. But now, look at verse 26, a familiar arrival. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within. And watch what happens behind the Scripture that you can't see. But it's very enlightening. Jesus came within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. And he says it the third time, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." A familiar arrival. Now, isn't this amazing what I told you that the Bible does not say, but you can see it in the back filling of the Scripture. 8 days Jesus came again where they were assembled together, and the first one he spoke to was Thomas. You know why? Because he heard what Thomas said 8 days ago. We may think Jesus is not listening, but Jesus hears everything. When you think that he's not listening, Jesus hears everything. He walked right up to him and he brought him out. He said, "Thomas." Isn't that something that he wasn't bad to him because he missed church? Wasn't that something? Jesus didn't chew him out, did he? But we see what he missed by not being in church. You've got to want to be in church. Because when we're not in church, we miss great opportunities. So he says to him, look what he says, this familiar arrival. But lastly, he says, "Then said he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand.'" Watch. "Put your finger in my hands. But," he said, "I've done so much for you out of my side, you can put your whole hand in me." Can I tell you, when God opened up the side of Christ, he opened up the heart of God to all humanity. And therefore this morning, you can be saved, you can become a member of Christ's body by what he's done for you and I on an old rugged cross. Look what he says lastly. Not only this familiar arrival, but now we see a faithful acceptance. I want you to see what Thomas does. Then I want you to see what the Lord says, and I'm done preaching. Jesus saith unto him, or first of all, 28, Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. He said, Lord, I believe. I believe you. Lord, you just done something for me. Notice this, the door was shut. Matter of fact, the Bible elaborates again in verse 26. This second appearance, Jesus came and the doors was being shut. You know, you may be here this morning and you've got the Lord shut out. You've got Him shut out, but you sure do need Him to give you peace about something. He said, Thomas, he said, reach hither your finger, put in my hand, put your hand in my side. And then look what the Lord says. This is for you this morning. He said, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I've not got to see Him like Thomas did, but I have seen Him through the eye of faith. Out of my heart, there was a time that I trusted Christ and His finished work at Calvary would get me to heaven. You know what I did? I did this a lot like this young lady. I wanted her to tell you that this morning for a couple reasons, but she made this statement. She asked God to save her. That's what I did that morning. You know what I said? God saved me. And you know what? He did. Miss Jennifer, if you'd come this morning, I wish you would just play.